from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
Today, we've got an LGBT fantasy by Kit Boyer called The Arborist of Asgard. In a modern iteration of Asgard, trees contain precursors to human souls. As arborists, Skadi and her father are responsible for the care of the trees, mediating between them and their godly masters, and escorting them to their birthplaces in Midgard. But these tasks fall on Skadi alone after her father dies. The only help she has is her sweet but silly friend Ullr and Njordr, the snarky god of summer seas.
Kit Boyer is a creative entrepreneur living in New York. Between homeschooling her children, managing the household, and working, Kit writes poetry, young adult fantasy, and short stories. She has also published several articles. And now a sample of The Arborist of Asgard, Episode 1.
Skadi stood in the lobby of Asgard's mayoral hall. The front desk guard clicked his mic.
"Sir, the arborist is here to see you."
A reply murmured from his ear. He turned his head from Skadi as though she couldn't hear his whispered,
"I understand, sir, but she looks like she's here to kill you."
A pause. The guard glanced back at her and shifted his feet.
"Should I at least take her weapons?"
"Yes, she has weapons.
A bow, arrows, 2 axes, looks like some knives.
Are you sure?"
"Yes, sir. I'll tell her."
The guard glanced at her.
"He says you can go up, and you can keep your weapons. He's a god of war, so those," he indicated her armament, "wouldn't be enough to hurt him anyway."
Skadi locked eyes with him and placed a hand on the head of the axe at her right hip. "These weren't for him. They were for you if you didn't let me in to see him." The guard puffed out his chest and put his thumbs into his belt. But when Skadi raised her eyebrows, the guard just snarled and clicked the lock button. The lobby doors swung open and Skadi walked through to the inner foyer. The gilded walls did not impress her today. She walked to the elevator and pushed the up button. When a second passed and the door didn't open, she headed for the stairs. A thrum of energy fizzed in her solar plexus. She couldn't wait for the damn elevator. She took the steps 2 and 3 at a time. The stretch and lunge of leg muscles felt good after waiting in the lobby for so long. She reached the third floor satisfyingly quickly and didn't slow from the stairs to the mayor's office. Most of the staff ignored her, but the PA nodded to her and gave her a sad smile. At the door to the mayor's chamber, Skadi paused long enough for a calming breath. "Be like the mountain. Mountains don't bend or break. They know no anger, yet withstand all hardships." She said her mantra in her head once and then swung the door open. Odin stood in front of his desk. With the click of the remote, the glass windows separating his office from the rest of the floor filled with runic fog. Gray on gray symbols and letters drifted in and out of sight. From the outside, Skadi remembered, the glass simply appeared to be blocked by blinds. She'd waited on the other side of that glass many times for her father. Her father had, in fact, been in this room with Odin a few days ago. He had been alive a few days ago. Odin touched the worn-looking hilt of the sword sheathed on his back.
"Do I need to take this out?"
Skadi just scowled at him and sat in one of the guest chairs. "Like the mountain." She took a breath again and relaxed her facial muscles. "My father is dead."
"Well, that was one way to begin."
"As far as I'm concerned, that is your fault." Odin raised an eyebrow, the one over the sunless pit of an eye socket.
"Skadi, I'm very sorry for your loss, but your fault. You told him to go to Muspelheim."
The image of her father's plane going down in that distant, fiery realm shot past Skadi's mantras. She had been on another job when it happened, so she hadn't even seen it. This vision was only a trick of her chaotic mind. She pushed the thoughts away. Odin's shoulders pulled back, but his face softened and his eye looked on her with sympathy.
"I did tell him to go, but he's gone before and come back fine. You can't blame me just because..."
"I can and do blame you. Did you do this because you were afraid he was going to run for office?" Skadi could feel her remaining emotional integrity slipping. She had to get this all done with before the tears came and her thoughts got too jumbled. His face clouded and then smoothed.
"I didn't know Thiazi was thinking of challenging me."
Scotty lifted her chin, hoping defiance and anger would dam up the levee holding back her tears. He wasn't, but the Ratatosk Herald will believe he was. I've scheduled an email to send out in a few hours detailing how you put your political rival in danger of being killed. What will the headlines say? God of War too cowardly to kill rival directly? Fearful mayor sends competition to death? And if that doesn't work, I will go to Tyr. Odin's face broke into a genuine smile.
You did come armed.
Unfortunately, the smile was just the prod Scotty's withheld emotions needed to rear up. She was crying suddenly, surprising the both of them. The sobs were heavy and loud. Odin looked shocked, which was mildly gratifying for a small part of Scotty.
Oh! Odin reached behind him on the desk for tissues. Oh, now, okay. That's okay. Just cry it out, Scotty. Here.
He also pushed a wastebasket toward her with a shoe.
What did you come here for? You must want something from me.
The blackness of Odin's eye pit seemed to quiver around the edges.
I need help, she got out between sobs. This job was hard enough, with me and my dad.
A wail at the thought of him burning to death in his plane.
Okay, I have people. I can lend you an intern, but you're going to need to hire someone qualified soon.
Odin seemed relieved at an active solution.
And I want a statue.
Snot and tears ran down her face.
A statue. For his years of service.
Okay, for his years of service.
In the square.
All right, I'll have a statue of Thiazi put up in the square commemorating his years of service and his sacrifice. What else?
I need a minute.
Scotty wadded up several dozen tissues and screamed into them. After a few quieter sobs, she picked up her head. I am calm. I am solid. I am the mountain. She felt more in control of herself now, but she was embarrassed. She hadn't meant to force Odin to comply with her requests by becoming an emotional fool. That's what the blackmail was supposed to achieve. But comply he had, so her task here was done. She'd gotten the help she needed and the recognition for her father that he deserved.
I'm sorry, Odin said slowly, that there isn't a way to give you time to grieve.
Do you want me to contact an arborist from another region?
No, they've already been in touch.
She threw out her tissues and moved the axe sheath that was digging into her side.
But they can't spare anyone?
Odin prompted, crossing his arms.
The crash was too close to Ginnungagap. Flying anywhere outside of their home regions would be too risky. Sending anyone by water would also be treacherous and would likely take too long.
Well, you can have your pick of my interns. None of them are remotely qualified to help with what you do, so any one of them will be as good as another. You better leave now, though, if you want to catch them on their way out of the gym.
What am I supposed to tell them? Scotty stood up, shook herself out, and neatened her weapons.
My people are there. They'll swear the intern to you. Let them know I'm assigning them to you until Ginnungagap calms down and you can get proper assistance from your people.
Scotty turned to go.
Oh, Odin called, a crooked smile scrunching his face under the pit.
They're going to be running out of the gym pretty fast. To catch one, I'd suggest grabbing a pair of shoes at the door. I'm getting a fateful feeling that it will turn out well for you.
Scotty's gut squirmed at the thought of fate being directed at her rather than by her.
Odin, I... She swallowed back her discomfort at his kindness. I'll delete the email once I see the statue. Make it big.
At the door to the sparring gym was a pile of shoes. Wingtips, heels, pumps, moccasins, mostly work shoes, mostly blandly colored. Scotty had considered several pairs, but decided to wait until the last second to snatch up a set. Through the gym door's narrow window, Scotty could see pairs of interns facing off on mats, all in different wrestling positions, many awkwardly impeded by unforgiving business attire. A cleaner had come through a few minutes earlier, glanced disapprovingly at the messy pile of shoes, and told her that these interns were going through a boot camp of sorts. It was to prepare them to lead human souls in mock battles. No one was to inform the interns beforehand that this was part of their training, which explained the inappropriate garb. A mechanical whistle shrilled. A small swarm of red-shirted Valkyrie moved amongst the interns, shrieking at them and herding them into two orderly lines. Scotty grimaced. Valkyrie. When the bedraggled newbies started jogging toward the door, Scotty backed away. Now was the time. She grabbed one bright yellow shoe close to the back of the pile and then had to frantically dig through the mess before finding the match at the bottom. A Valkyrie pushed the door open. Their face was gleeful, teeth sharp in their smile. Until they saw Scotty. The line behind them bunched, and the other Valkyrie pushed and growled the interns back to order.
Arborist. The one at the door cocked their head, copying the pose of the raven tattooed on their neck. Why are you here?
Odin's giving me one of his interns. Scotty held up the obscenely bright shoes. This one.
Hmph.
The Valkyrie turned back to the people jogging in place behind them. Whichever worthless dog-offal owns these kicks better get their sorry ass to the front of the line.
They took the shoe from Scotty's hand and held it up high. One jogger came to the front, pink-faced and sweaty.
Ah, of course it's you, milksop. Not even one day and you couldn't hack it in my army. How many genitals did you have to fondle to get out of training?
The Valkyrie gnashed their teeth at him menacingly.
The rest of you, get your shoes on, get back in line. You can thank Milksop over here for the unplanned fun we're about to have on the roof. Move, move, move!
Again, the harassment descended. Interns ran to the pile, shoving past Scotty, but avoiding getting too close to the Valkyrie beside her. Then they disappeared down the hallway, a herd of deer set upon by wolves. The Valkyrie handed the shoe back to Scotty.
They look like puke now, but some of them will shape up, they said conversationally, and then, do you have a sword?
Scotty shook her head. Will a family knife work?
Should be fine. The Valkyrie wrenched Milksop's hand up in front of Scotty. Now, hold the hilt over his palm. Ymir's ghost, Milksop. How are your lily white hands so soft? Do you wake up every morning and soak them in goat's milk and honey?
The intern looked like he wanted to reply, but knew better. Scotty pulled her grandmother's knife from its sheath and did as the Valkyrie bid. The intern grasped the hilt from below, his fingers overlapping her own. The Valkyrie said,
Milksop, state your name and title.
I am Njordr. He made a point of enunciating it and shot a look at the Valkyrie. Son of Vana, god of summer seas.
And you?
They looked at Scotty. I am Skadi, daughter of Thiasi, arborist of Asgard.
Now repeat. The Valkyrie dropped their hand from Njordr's wrist. This is my oath. I will serve Skadi, Thiasi's daughter, until she releases me from my bond. Whatever tasks you set, I will do. Wherever your sword goes, my sword shall follow.
He repeated. This is my oath, Skadi said. I accept your service, Njordr, Vana's son. You shall eat of my bread and drink of my ale. In my hall you shall sleep. I will only ask for that which you can give. The Valkyrie snapped a picture of the two of them on a phone. Seeing both of their confused looks, they said,
Easier than having a hall full of witnesses. He's officially transferred now, but...
They threw a terrifying look at Njordr.
If he gives you any trouble, you can always bring him back to me.
Njordr dropped his hand, and Scotty sheathed the knife. She was so tired now, and she wanted to be back home. But home was a long way off yet.
I'm sorry about your father, the Valkyrie shrugged sharp shoulders. We weren't friends, but I saw him around, you know.
Thanks, Scotty managed, unsure what else to say. And then they left. Only Scotty and Njordr and the stink of a well-used gym remained.
What's going on? The intern retied his blonde hair.
Odin reassigned you to me for a while. Let's go. Scotty suddenly felt drained. She didn't want to talk anymore. They'd probably have to stop by this person's house to collect his things. She should pick up some supplies from the store, and then they'd still have the 30-minute flight home.
Yeah, obviously. But what did he assign me to you for?
He held his hand out to her.
Can I have my other shoe?
Scotty handed him the bold yellow sneaker and took a second to assess her new assistant. Njordr of Vana. Long blonde hair, light eyes, wiry frame, about her height. She hoped he was stronger than he looked. He appeared to be in his 30s, not the bright-eyed 20-something of Odin's usual interns. This surprised her. She asked,
Aren't you a bit old to be an intern? Aren't you a bit old to be asking rude questions? We've just met and you're already haranguing me. Great.
He finished getting his shoes on and faced her with a falsely sweet expression.
I'm sure this will be a lovely working relationship.
Okay, Scotty replied in exasperation. My dad died recently. Odin offered me one of his interns until I can get another arborist trained up. I picked you at random because your shoes caught my eye. So now you're all caught up. Let's go.
His pale cheeks flushed and he looked a little abashed.
Right. Sorry about your dad. The mountain does not mourn the past and makes no designs on the future. She walked toward the stairs, hoping that fate knew what it was doing.
Hey, Christine.
Hey, JP.
Did you know that Pro Writing Aid is hosting a free virtual summit on the Science Fiction Writers Week?
I sure did, because I signed up. It's August 29th till September 2nd, and they have some great authors, and I am so excited to join.
Yeah. So this is their biggest event, and they'll be hosting over 30 sessions on topics like editing, outline, drafting, and interviews, like you said, with best-selling authors like Andy Weir. So the registration link is prorenegade.com/sci-fi-week/sign-up, and all of the spaces are hyphens. We'll put a link in the show notes so that you can check that out.
Yeah, and the best part is that it is completely free for Pro Writing Aid users. So if you want to write that best-selling science fiction novel, you don't want to miss it.
100%. Definitely interested. So when you attend, both and or one of us will be there in spirit as well.
Yes. And as always, if you don't use Pro Writing Aid, use our discount. Serial 20.
S-E-R-I-A-L 20. Serial, like the killer.
Not the breakfast.
So JP, let's talk about Later Press. So Later Press is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on Later Press, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was, you can put a collection, and then you can put your, we put Nerds in the collection, so that ideally if we do any spinoffs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com, and you just direct your readers straight there, and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, you know, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model, just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you. Because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
Yep. And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press. All right, so we start off in a lobby with a character wielding arrows, axes, and knives asking to speak to the mayor of Asgard. I am curious, what inspired you to write this serial?
Well, I always have loved mythology. I was the kid in elementary school who always had the pile of mythology books, you know, by my bed. I would check out every book on mythology from the school library, and I'm sure no one else read any of it because it was all in my room. and maybe like 5 years ago, I had this idea for a scene where Skadi and Njordr are like curled up facing each other, and it's like stormy outside, and you know, he got frightened. It's like a soft boy, hard girl type of scene. And he is like scared in his room, and he comes into her room and he's holding her hair, going to sleep. They're sleeping. And he's like dreaming about being back in the ocean, and her hair in that dream is seaweed. So he's just like, you know, comforted and whatever. So then I was like, I should make this into something, and I never did. And then when Vela came out, I was like, oh, I could make this into a serial. Perfect.
Awesome. Well, I was excited to read about an arborist for Odin's tree. I want to know what characters you're excited for readers to read about and why.
Yeah. I mean, I love Ullr. He's the himbo. He doesn't really have a big role in this season, but next season he'll have a bigger role. And then Ran is a goddess of the sea. She's awesome. But she is based on a character, sorry, not a character, a goddess in Greenlandic mythology. And so her counterpart in Greenlandic mythology has this weird, crazy tale. But what I wanted to do in this story was create an overlap between Norse mythology and Greenlandic Inuit mythology. And so the Jotun are going to be more like, based on Greenlandic Inuit culture and gods and peoples. So that is what I'm excited about, I guess.
Awesome. So now you said you did a lot of reading on mythology. So I am curious, what type of research went into creating this modern retelling of old myth?
Just like so much. I could definitely get stuck in a research spiral and have and do and will again. One of the things that I would advise against if anybody else is doing this is just giving yourself free rein to go into research. Just like make sure you have a timer for yourself or something. Outsource it if you can. You know, I moved right before I started this series and I found out that my neighbor is a pilot. So I asked him all of my questions about what Scotty's plane would be and like, how much fuel does it need? And, you know, why would, like, if she needed to offload some cargo, how much cargo would she need to offload, or how much fuel would she need to offload to take on this much car? Like all those weird questions. Which door do you exit out of when you get, you know, into this specific type of plane? That kind of weird stuff, which is not mythology. All the myth stuff I already had in my brain from years of, you know, absorbing it. But it was all the other random modern stuff that was difficult, map making and all that. Mm-hmm.
So in your tags for the story, it also noted that it's LGBTQIA. And I'm curious, do you want to talk about what representations the reader might see in this story and what gets you excited to read an LGBTQIA story?
Absolutely. So the main character, Scotty, you find out in, I think, episode 4, maybe, she is ace. She's asexual. So she doesn't feel physical attraction, let's say, to other people, but she does feel romantic attraction. And she might like kissing or snuggling, but she's not going to go farther than that. It's not something that she's into. The two main male characters, Ullr and Njordr, are both bi. And just not even really bi, they're just like pan, I guess, just like whatever. You won't know this in this season probably, but Thor is actually, he's a drag queen and he runs drag shows every Thor's Day, right? So that's like a fun, like, yeah, just like a fun little thing for you guys, whoever's listening to this, you'll know before everybody else who's reading it. And the kids are, Freya is, she's in a relationship with a female person. And Frey is kind of like ambiguous a little bit. He plays with gender expression and he is really interested in a non-binary person. So they don't go by a specific gender. And I also try to make sure to include lots of different gender expressions and gender identities as well. So Ratatosk, the main, you know, reporter and kind of like the stinker of the of the first few episodes or whatever, is non-binary as well. So they go by they. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that in Norse mythology, like looking back and reading through the tales, just how queer the Norse mythology is. Yeah. And just how like Loki is often both depicted as men, women, and yep. Thor, you know, at some point he wears a wedding dress and he impersonates a woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, like, as you were picking apart this story and reflecting back on it from when you used to read it in the past, like, how did that kind of reflection as to like how you like to tell stories. Like, how's that go? How'd that develop? How's that feel? How's that? All those words.
Well, I really enjoy adding my own interpretation and values, flavor to stories. So I want to make sure that when I write, I'm writing things that are important to me into the world as just like the norm. Because the more we have that in our writing and for other people to read, the more normal it becomes. So if you have non-binary folks in your story, that doesn't seem as weird to somebody who might not know anybody who's non-binary and then meet somebody for the first time, they'll have a reference point for that. And you know, for all the other things as well, I just think it's really important to kind of put your money where your mouth is as a writer. Like if you value this thing, write it as a matter of course. Just include it in your world as just something that is without having to worry about why or whatever. You can figure out the hows as you go, but just always stick to what you feel, I guess.
Nice. Definitely. Yeah, I love that. So is there anything else about the story that you want listeners to know or to be excited about?
Ooh, depends on how far they are in the story.
Don't too many spoilers.
Around halfway through the season, somebody dies. Yes. And then around episode 20-ish, a bunch of big shenanigans, the final just dropped a bunch of papers. The big shenanigans start really going down for the last few episodes to put you at a cliffhanger. Next season you can be looking forward to more Greenlandic lore and culture and exploration of that. And Scotty's gonna kind of dip her toes into her ancestral heritage and stuff. So I'm excited about that too. So
nice.
Oh, I can't wait. You are also originally from upstate New York and you now live in the desert. How does your real life creep into your stories?
Well, I just moved back to New York, but I did live in the desert for a long time. Yes. I was in the military, actually, and I moved around a lot. I moved to California and Texas and Hawaii, and then I moved to Arizona after I got out. I moved to New York for a year, and then I moved to Arizona for 10 years, and then I moved back here. I think when you are in a place and you're absorbing culture and vibe, it just kind of seeps into what you're writing. So when I was in Arizona, I wrote a lot of poetry about the desert or what that might mean, how that might reflect how I'm feeling. Is the desert full? Is the desert, hiding something or whatever? In this story, I don't know that I wrote too much about the desert, but I can say that because the Arctic is also a desert, right? It's just a very cold desert. I think that scarcity of resources will definitely come into play when I write about, Jotunheim and other places like that. But yeah, lots of beautiful places. And I wanted to reflect that in my writing too, because I've been, so many beautiful, beautiful places.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you're also a weaver, which I feel like must fit in with Norse mythology. Does that find a way into the serial at all or into any of your other works?
I want to include it in everything I write ever. And I was no, hold yourself back. You can't include it in everything.
Always.
Yeah. And, the Wheel of Time series already has a whole lore around spinning and weaving and threads mm-hmm. and fate and stuff. So I was like, I'm not going to dip, into that pot, because that's already established. So no, I do want to all the time. I have characters who are weavers in other stories, but I try to hold back.
Well, I expect at least a short story where you don't hold back. So
yeah.
I'm just gonna throw that out there. I'm curious, is there anything you haven't explored yet that you plan to or want to?
I've been saying a bunch, I do want to get more into Greenlandic mythology. I'm really excited about writing more from Ullr's perspective and what his deal is, because he's a himbo who doesn't love a himbo. And I could definitely see a spin-off series about Freyja, because she's just so cool, and funny. And she's definitely just got ADHD, absolutely. which I think like everybody I know right now has ADHD, so we can all relate.
I just raised my hand over there. Yeah.
So yeah, those are some of the things I'm looking forward to getting into.
Nice. So as a final question, I want to know, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
Serial fiction is super fun. It's cool in terms of like accountability. I like that I can quickly get things to readers. I'm not waiting forever. It's very easy to give them something. I really enjoy feeling like validated immediately, like, oh, I published something, you know. I'm not waiting on my editors and then waiting on it to be put through a big, you know, production. You know, it's just very fast, very immediate. And honestly, like, I love Webtoon. Like, I love Webtoon so much. Comics are my jam. I love watching TV shows, and being able to copy that kind of format in my writing is just so, it feels great. It feels wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Our thanks today to Kit Boyer for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can find it on Kindle Vella. The link is in the show notes.
And that's a wrap.
Bye, see you later. So did you read the Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology? I'm just curious.
Oh my God, I've been waiting. I'm so pumped to read it, but I like don't want to taint what I've already, like, my ideas for it. I never want to write or like read the same thing I'm writing.
Yeah. Oh, ugh. Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't read it. I was like, is it worth reading?
I don't know. I love Neil Gaiman. So
me too.
It is.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's nonfiction. I just saw the Sandman came out on Netflix.
You should listen to the audiobook of Norse mythology.
Oh, really? That's good?
Yeah. Okay. It's good. I think he reads it. I mean, reads like all of his stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Trolls. JP loves trolls.
It's trolls. Yes. It's very wonderful. It basically is Norse mythology, but with just a little bit of the whimsy that Neil Gaiman brings into his storytelling.
That sounds so fun.
It's wonderful. Yes. Yes.